Markets rally on hopes of a breakthrough in the US-China trade war and Brexit. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leisha Santarelli. Good morning. President Trump is set to meet with China's top trade negotiator, Liu He, in Washington, and there's speculation that the two sides could come to a compromise ahead of next week's tariff increase on $250 billion worth of Chinese imports. Sean Rain is managing director of the China Market Research Group, and he believes that some form of a deal is likely.
So China wants a deal, but they're not going to back down too much. And they see with the impeachment hearings that could potentially engulf President Trump, they're going to take a very hard line. So I don't expect there to be a grand agreement made in the coming weeks. China's going to play even harder than it did maybe 6 to 8 months ago, especially because the economy right now is actually fairly strong. So you're not seeing the same desperation and panic mode in the Chinese government over economic issues as they did at the beginning of this year. That said, they do want a deal. So I could see them maybe making a mini agreement where they buy more agricultural products like pork and soybeans from the United States. And in return, Trump promises not to increase tariffs for another 3 to 6 months.
In the longer term, do you think that we would see a decoupling of the supply chain between the US and China?
Yeah, I expect there to be more of a decoupling of the supply chain. Now, I think President Trump is wrong. American companies are not going to reshore their manufacturing from China back into the United States. The United States is never going to be a manufacturing dominant powerhouse like it was 100 years ago. That ship has sailed a long, long time ago.
There are also reports of a possible currency pact struck between the US and China. What would this currency agreement entail?
Well, the Chinese currency, the renminbi, has devalued about 11% in the last 12 months. And that's really being driven by people not wanting to hold the Chinese RMB anymore. They're scared that it's going to continue to depreciate. So there's a lot of pressure on outbound capital flow, and that's causing the RMB to go lower and lower. So I actually think the Chinese government would be quite willing to sign a currency agreement with President Trump and say that they're not going to devalue the RMB anymore.
That was Sean Rain in Shanghai. Let's do the numbers. Global markets are high on those hopes that China and the US will end their trade impasse. Meanwhile, the British pound jumped the most in 7 months after the UK and Ireland said there is, quote, a pathway to a possible Brexit deal. But oil prices are back above $60 a barrel after reports of an explosion on an Iranian tanker near the port city of Jeddah. That has raised worries about another disruption to global oil supplies. Now, one of Britain's best-known technology firms has suddenly decided to scrap its plans for an electric car. The BBC's Theo Leggett has more.
Dyson is best known for its innovative take on everyday items such as vacuum cleaners and hand dryers. But in 2016, it launched an ambitious project to build a radical new electric car. It intended to use advanced battery technology, lightweight materials, and cutting-edge aerodynamics to make a big step forward in terms of performance and range. But the company now says it cannot see a way to make the project commercially viable. Although the market for electric vehicles is growing quickly, such cars still cost more than conventional machines and are much less profitable to make, even for large manufacturers. The development of a new generation of batteries was a major component of the project, but last year Dyson wrote off a much-hyped $60 million investment in the US battery developer Sacti3. In London, I'm the BBC's Theo Leggett.
Long lines of tourists waiting to catch a show in the West End is a common sight here in London. It can be very hard getting tickets to popular plays or musicals, and that's partly because London has far fewer theatres than in New York. So as demand continues to grow, London is now in the middle of a theatre construction boom. The BBC's Vincent Dowd has this report.
Peter Street used to be part of the old sleazy Soho, but the area's changing and the new 165-seat Boulevard Theatre is taking shape. Around a dozen major new theatres are opening or reopening in London between 2019 and 2021, several thousand extra seats to fill each evening, 200 of them at the new Turbine Theatre under a railway bridge near the old Battersea Power Station, part of a massive, very high-end development.
Since when do you make coffee in a pressure cooker?
Water boils faster.
Harvey Fierstein's gay classic Torch Song is the Turbine Theatre's opening show, meant to draw people to an area which used to be semi-derelict, but now definitely is not. Artistic director Paul Taylor Mills.
I think so many new theatre spaces are opening because audience goers want a complete experience. They want to go somewhere different. You see the boom in secret cinema and interactive theatre. Theatre is responding. It's also very, very, very expensive to work in the West End.
Producers say shows which might make money in London often can't find a home. One company, Troubadour, had the idea of building theatres which might exist for just a year or two, such as the King's Cross Theatre, Tristan Baker of Troubadour.
When you're looking at how do you regenerate an area, culture is often the bedrock to these. So I think that we bring a lot of people to the area, which also actively regenerates it as well.
New theatres like the Turbine and the Boulevard address the relative lack of attractive smaller venues in London. Tristan Baker says small or big, London will get new theatre buildings because there's an obvious commercial need.
The BBC's Vincent Dowd. And finally, my hometown of Singapore plans to completely ban advertisements for drinks that contain a lot of sugar. It will be the first country in the world to implement such legislation. In London, I'm Leisha Santarelli with a Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.